Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. We'll read two verses of scripture tonight. Hebrews chapter 2, verses, let's go from 5 to 9. 5 to 9. That's not two verses, is it? For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you, Lord, that we can come into your house and study your word together. Lord, as we look at these scriptures tonight, just show us what you'd have us to know. Each one of us, Lord, have different needs in our life. Lord, we know what we faced this last week, and we don't know what we face tomorrow, but we know that you will walk through those valleys with us. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, in chapter 1, Christ is the outshining of God's glory, superior to the angels, superior to Old Testament writers, and this brings revelation. Christ, we talked about revelation this morning in the Word of God. Christ is revelation. They speak for God. He spoke as God when he spoke. And the chapter ends with Christ seated at God's right hand. Now, in chapter 2, he gives emphasis on the humanity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ knows how we feel. In our life this past week, we know that we've lost loved ones. We know that many of our people have had bad news in life. And life does hand us those things that we sometimes feel that, does God know where we're at? You see? But Christ is our partner in pain, the Word of God says. And Hebrews 10 shows that Hebrew Christians suffered persecution in their life. One reason, many were drifting away. They were saying, man, if we have to suffer persecution like this, man, maybe we need to go another way. But look on heaven's throne, and you will see a fellow sufferer there. Jesus Christ is our partner in pain. Verse 9, for the suffering of death he came. Verse 10, perfect through sufferings. He suffered a life while he was here. And it shows the humanity of Christ. Christ suffered at the hands of his fellow man. He went to Calvary's cross for you and I. He knows what we're facing in life. He could have avoided it if he wanted to, but he didn't. Why did he go there? Because he loved you, and it was God's will that he go to the cross. And that's what I want you to see, that he is our partner in pain. He knows what you're feeling. I said many years ago, I lost my brother. He was very close. And at that time, I wondered, God, are you really, you know, you called me into the ministry. You know, and now this happens, and we have those things in our life that we wonder, has he got off the throne? But he's always there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And Jesus could have avoided the cross, but he didn't. And it always bothers me to hear easy answers to our situations that we face. You know, a child dies in our family. And the answer is, someone comes along and says, well, you've got four more. Boy, how cruel that is. And you know, they mean for good, but we just sometimes don't have an answer for those things and many other things. Why does someone that's loving God and worshiping God and, you know, come up with cancer? And we look for those easy answers. There's only three answers in the Word of God that even come close to satisfying my life. God can take anything and make it work for good. God can take anything and make it work for good in your life. And when we get to heaven, the short time of suffering here will be very insignificant to all the glory there. And then the third reason, the God who asked us to go through this life of pain went through it himself. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will always be there. I walk through those storms in your life. I walk through those valleys in your life. I'm always there. I'm your partner in pain. He chose humanity. He chose suffering. I love that old hymn, Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. You see, we suffer in this life, but we need to remember that Christ is our partner in pain. He knows how we feel. God knows how it is to lose a son. Our leader also is in death. In 2 verse 9, the climax of Jesus' suffering came at his death upon the cross. And verse 9 says, Jesus was made lower than the angels so that he might taste death for everyone. Now, in Satan's hand, death is a weapon. It's a weapon that we all will face. He uses life's short time to entice us. Oh, what did we see on the commercials? Enjoy life while you can. Live it up. That old eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may be dead. You see, we say we've got to have all the gusto we can right here while we're living because life is short. Grab all that pleasure we can. And he uses death, oh, and its brutality to make us hate God. Hate God. Someone we love dies. We either get better or bitter. And so many today get bitter at God. Remember Job's wife? Yeah, stood over the grave of her children and said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? She wanted to, but she didn't have the nerve. So she asked her husband, you see, we're scared of death. She was scared of death. And we try to cover up death with the way we have our funerals and the flowers. We wanted to make it look a pretty thing, but death is death. And when one dies without Christ, oh, it's so hard to know that that person is without Christ. An old Negro spiritual summed it up well. I'm tired of living and I'm scared of dying. But Jesus conquered death, and when he conquered death, he is our leader in death. He conquered Satan. He overcame death. And the Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But we fear it instinctively, don't we? We always fear that moment of death. I had an uncle that died, and my uncle was a great Christian guy, man. If anybody was going to be in heaven, it was going to be Joel. I tell you, he loved the Lord. He went, ever since I was a little tyke, he was taking us to church and teaching us about the Word of God, and I never saw that boy use a foul word, the whole thing. He was my uncle. He was 6 years older than I was. We were more like brothers than we were uncle and whatever. But we was always together. We hunted together. We Boy Scouted together. Man, I tell you what. He got cancer on Labor Day about... probably in 2008 or 6 or something like that. I don't know exactly when. But he called me to come over to the house, and he said, "Booney, I want you to come over and talk to me a minute." I drove here to Chandler. That's where he lived at that time. And when I got to the house, he said, "Booney, I've got this awful lump here in my stomach." And he said, "It just won't go away." I said, "Joel, we better get you to the hospital, brother, and let the doctor look at it." And the doctor said those bad words, you know, "You've got cancer of the stomach." And I thought, Joel got cancer of the stomach? You know, he's never done nothing but eat green pea soup. And I thought, man, I won't eat that. But you know what? He didn't last but a month, and he was gone. But in that time, he said, "You know, Booney," he said, "death does scare me." He said, "I'm not scared for myself. I know when I close my eyes, I'll wake up in heaven." But he said, "We fear death, I believe, because of our loved ones we're leaving. And it's what about my wife and three girls? What are they going to do?" And I said, "Joel, the Lord led you through this. He will take care of those girls. He will take care of your wife." You see, he knows what we're going through. But instinctively, we fear that thing called death. And we don't like it when he falls into our household. But in Christ, we have nothing to fear because he's on heaven's throne. And one day, we'll be with him. Isn't that wonderful news? He is our partner in pain, and he's overcome death. Not only that, I believe if you look at here in Hebrews 10 and 17, he's our Savior from sin. He is our Savior from sin. "He who died like us also died for us." He is our substitute. You see, Jesus, our God, made Jesus the author of our salvation perfect through his sufferings. Why was he obedient to what God asked him to do in his holy nature? Why was he obedient? He wanted to please the Father. He wanted to do everything the Father asked him to do. He endured what? Well, for our salvation, he endured the slaps of the people and the jeers of the people and the lies of the people and the beatings of the people. On that bloody cross, he went all the way for us. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God made atonement for the sins of the people that we might have life. When Adam stood before God in his sin, the Bible says in Genesis, God took a lamb or a goat and killed that animal to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. When Jesus died on the cross, it was to cover our sins, our nakedness, our sinful ways. And when we stand before God, we cannot offer our goodness. There's no goodness in us. The more we try to be good, seems like the more we fail, don't we? Our sincerity, our best, the best we can offer is polluted with sin, isn't it? The best we have, and all we have, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He is God's gift to us. And our gift to God when we take him into our life. Christ died for us. He's our partner in pain. He's our partner in death, and he died. He's a partner in our suffering. Not only that, we see our conqueror over Satan. When Jesus went through all the assaults that he went through, when he went through that bloody cross, when he died upon that cross, he didn't strike back one time, did he? Now, in our mind, boy, somebody slaps us. I had an old friend one time. He said, "You know, preacher, I know." That's before I became a preacher, but me and him were both Christians. He said, Brother Booney, he said, when somebody slaps me, the Bible says turn the other cheek. And I said, well, JC, would you do that? Would you turn the other cheek? I thought about slapping him. Just to see. We were close. He'd probably let me get by with it. He said, I would. If somebody slapped me, I would turn the other cheek. I said, well, what if didn't they haul off and slap that cheek? He said, the fight's on, brother. That's us, isn't it? We want to get back. We want to strike back. And, you know, Jesus never once struck back. He conquered that hate. But sin has made us failures. Yes, we want to strike back. It's just our nature, you know. We want to get even. We do all kinds of things. You know, if we were a nation of love and godliness, you know, we would help people all over the world. And the world, if mankind was like Christ wants us to be, we wouldn't have people starving to death. Did you know our nation produces enough food to feed the world? But yet, we can't do it because of greed. That's sad, isn't it? And we split the atom bomb to make bombs just to kill people, our enemies. And that's sad. We develop, you know, I never thought we'd have worldwide communication. I heard when we grew up with that old, Ron and I was talking about the other night, that old party line where you had three or four houses, and I would say, I was going to call Rhonda, and I'd have to get on the phone, and I'd say, Aunt Cindy, would you hang up? And she said, you fixing to talk to Rhonda? She knew more about my business than I did. I said, yes, ma'am, would you hang up? And I'd listen for that click, and I'd say, Aunt Cindy, you ain't hung up yet. And she'd hang up. But that party line, who would have ever thought I could take my phone out? I don't have it with me. I left it home. But I can take my phone out, and I can call just like that FaceTime and talk to my son face-to-face over in China. Who would have ever thought that? I never would have. In my wildest imagination, I'd have never dreamed that we had that kind of communication. And you know what? Instead of using it for good, our satellites are used for pornography and stuff like that to feed our children's minds. Oh, we are defeated. We're defeated by Satan, and he owns the right to every one of us. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the Bible says not Jesus. Not Jesus. Made lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. Friends, Calvary was the hardest and hottest thing to combat, and Jesus conquered it. You see? In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, if you can, will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He's our partner in pain. He's our partner in suffering. He's our partner in death. And he's our brother in heaven. Two times, chapter 2, 11, 12, and 18. Two times, Jesus is announced as a brother. A brother. Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Folks, I call the men in this church brother. Brothers in Christ. They're not kin to me, but they're my brothers in Christ. I love each and every one of them. You're ladies, you're my sisters in Christ. I love you also. We are brothers and sisters because he himself suffered and won the temptation, and he's able to help those who are tempted now. You see, the old song, are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. We've no other such a friend or brother. He's a friend that's well known. Most of you don't know. How many of you know Lenny Watkins? No, not many of you. But Lenny was a great basketball player, but he's a great coach. He was a great coach. And I don't know what team he's, Atlanta Falcons, not Falcons, but the Atlanta team, I believe it was. And he was in a basketball game for the championship against the Los Angeles Lakers, I believe it is. I don't know basketball any more than do football. But I know Lenny Watkins told his story. At the close of the game, it was very close. They were coming right down to the last second. Either one of them could have won. And he called a timeout, get his team together. And as his team was sitting there making plans to win the game, he felt this tug on his coat. And he tried to not think about it, but it kept getting stronger. And he looked back, and it was his little boy. Said, Daddy, would you give me a dollar for a hot dog? And he realized, you know, life is more than just basketball games. And he said, yeah, right there in the middle of that timeout, he got some money and handed it to his little boy because he knew that little boy was important to him. And he was important to him. Friends, we are important to God. He's never too busy to listen to our hurts. He's never too busy to walk with us in those painful places of life. He is our King of Kings. He is our Lord of Lords. He sits on the throne, but he's proud to call you his brother. He's proud to call you his sister. He's proud to call you his friend. You see, he's our partner in pain. He's our leader in death. He's our savior from sin. And he's our conqueror over Satan and our brother in heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you tonight for your blessings. And Lord, if there's someone here that needs to make a decision to accept you as Lord and Savior, or just to get their life right, Lord, may they make that at this time. And God will give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.